Hi, this is Nicole Hemsoth, editor of HPC Wire, here with today's edition of Soundbite, our daily interview series featuring researchers, thought leaders, and newsmakers in the world of high-performance computing. On today's edition of Soundbite, we'll be talking with Barak Yenyeh, a co-founder for the UberCloud project. UberCloud is the online community where engineers and scientists can discover, try out, and then buy high-performance computing as a service from HPC cloud providers and supercomputer centers around the world. Today, we're going to check in with the progress on that project and talk about some unique insights and experiences around using cloud for HPC applications, as well as take a look at what's on the horizon in the future for UberCloud. Hi, Barak.
Hey, Nicole.
So if you could, I know a lot of our readers and listeners are familiar with the UberCloud project, but for those who aren't, can you give a general description and tell us what it is and what it aims to do?
Absolutely. Thanks for having us on the call today.
Sure.
UberCloud is the online community where engineers and scientists can get their hands on with high-performance computing and primarily on remote compute clusters. Me and my partner, Wolfgang, we started with a very simple question. We were seeing a steep adoption curve for infrastructure as a service in the general enterprise workloads, but we were wondering, why is high-performance computing workloads lagging behind? Nowadays, when engineers have need for compute power, they usually have three options. They can go get a stronger, beefier workstation, or they can seek access to an in-house compute cluster. And more recently, we're seeing this pattern where they rent the burst capacity on remote compute clusters. HPC, which is traditionally the form of getting access to in-house compute clusters, has solid presence in large enterprises. But when it comes to small and medium manufacturers, we see that they have been severely restricted in their access to such technical computing infrastructures. So that's what we set out to understand. If access to remote compute clusters is a good alternative, people refer to it as HPC in the cloud or HPC as a service in many cases. We just wanted to know if that's a good option for these smaller organizations.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the analysts tend to put out figures that say, you know, X% of HPC users have adopted clouds in one form or another, be it, you know, using Amazon resources or bursting out for extra capacity. And, you know, we get stories once in a while about actual users. What is your feeling of the temperature of actual use of clouds? And let's break that down for a second and say, you know, what percentage of enterprise HPC users that you work with are more interested in public cloud resources? Who is kind of using it just for burst capacity, and who has replaced their entire physical infrastructure altogether in favor of clouds? Are there any generalizations you can make there?
There are some. So the biggest generalization we can make is that the interest is growing. And we see it along the lines of mostly for burst capacity. We don't think the pattern will be one of a replacement pattern. We don't think engineers will let go of their workstations or their in-house HPC clusters anytime soon, and neither should they, in our opinion. But there's a very good case for getting burst capacity from remote clusters of sorts. And I tend to stay away from just saying HPC in the cloud. Sometimes people confuse that with just going to a public cloud provider and trying to use that capacity for high-performance computing, which may not be the best way to do it. So I tend to refer to it as a remote cluster of some sort, and we think there's a place for that in the HPC community. In terms of percentages, Nicole, those are very difficult to obtain. Many people talk about 5% of overall IT is now shifting towards the cloud. We think that number is well below 1% in the case of HPC.
Mm-hmm. When you see numbers like that are about the cloud, you know, let's put that in quotes and capital letters there, are they generally referring to public cloud, private cloud? What does that actually mean for the users that you work with on the HPC and enterprise HPC side? I mean, the cloud then means any combination of remote infrastructure. But when you see these big numbers about it, are they referring to all sorts of remote infrastructure?
So a significant percentage of it is mostly in the software as a service area, and I'm not exactly sure if that's a great fit for high performance computing use cases. Many cloud applications happen to be in CRM, for example, or ERP type of workloads. Those we have seen an uptick in those over the last 10 years. But you need to also realize HPC is a much more fragmented space. There's no application like a CRM, for example, that kind of unites all enterprises, right? We all manage customers. But in HPC, there's no such one application which unites the whole high-performance computing community together.
Right. To move back to something you said just a little bit ago, too, to hop around a little bit, you talked about HPC users being unwilling, very likely unwilling, to let go of their physical infrastructure on site. To what degree is that because they're afraid of losing performance, you know, the known costs of latency there associated with cloud use? And to what degree is it security? What are the real reasons for wanting that physical infrastructure if it's maybe less expensive for shorter term use? How do they work out those decisions?
That's an excellent question. High-performance computing is complicated as it is. You're dealing with sophisticated hardware, complex software, as well as many scientific parameters, right? When it comes to remote HPC, it's even more complicated since you have to deal with all of the above, plus you are now dealing with an environment you are not really familiar with, and you're trying to do something complicated on that new environment. So we see challenges like cumbersome registration processes getting in the way, cumbersome administration processes for hardware or software getting in the way. Management of licenses is a challenge. How do you transfer your large data over wide area networks in and out to these clusters? That's a challenge. Remote visualization is sometimes a solution, sometimes a challenge. And frankly, you put your finger on the performance question as well, and performance characteristics of the remote cluster is a challenge as well. You may be overpaying for something you don't need, or you may have chosen a wrong cluster and you may not be getting the performance characteristics that you are used to. When we look at the performance, Nicole, though, we have to also consider how long does it take to even get the job started. You can't just look at, it runs on my desktop in 4 hours, and on a remote cluster it will run in 20. But if you need to go through, a week of registration and setup processes to even get access to that resource, well, you know, you're eroding your returns very quickly there.
Right, right. Well, these are all very important barriers to cloud adoption, and I'm sure that through your project you're encountering some of those issues and looking to the community to solve them. What are some of the lessons you've learned there, and what are you carrying over?
That's a great one to discuss as well. So one of the things that I just talked about was the ease of access, ease of use. So we are taking some of those challenges to heart. We have gone through over 120 projects since the HPC experiment was started, and we are coming up with a set of tools to address some of those challenges for our users. We believe community education and community building are very important. If a colleague has gone through a similar experiment and they have figured out how to get their specific code running on a cloud, well, maybe you can steal a few plays out of their playbook and get your jobs on the cloud much faster. And we're also looking at how to grow the provider base so that we have more options for the different use cases that we encounter.
Mm-hmm. What does your provider base look like right now?
So we have three types of providers on the HPC experiment. One of them is resource providers. We have public cloud providers, just like you said, similar to Amazon. We also have HPC as a service providers, such as Compute, Nimbic, StableCore. And we also have supercomputer centers working with us on the HPC experiment, like the Ohio Supercomputer Center. And some of these centers have very successful industry outreach programs, which we fit right into. On the software side, we've started with application codes such as the popular ones from ANSYS and Simulia, ESI OpenFOAM. So that space is also growing in representation in HPC experiments. And we have recently added a number of middleware providers, like, for example, NICE Engine Frame, to help us with the remote visualization. So there are currently 1,000 participants in HPC experiment, and it's a growing community.
And it's one that we're watching carefully. It's actually generated quite a bit of interest from our readers if you look at what people click on, what they find most interesting week to week. So we'll keep watching that. So can you describe some of the projects that you're working on? I know that there are some new developments on your end that we wanted to at least hit on today. Let's move over to those real quickly.
Sure. So as we launch into the further rounds of the HPC experiment, we are just launching round 5. We are looking at how to keep this 1,000 people community in 70 countries together, and that's a challenge in itself. So we launched a community website in 2013 so that both readers, like from HPC Wire and from our internal community, can access the dozens of projects that we have completed, which is a great asset in our opinion, and we supplemented that with discussion forums. We are also looking into a contact center solution. We have a webinar coming up in just a few weeks here, and we are investing in this contact center solution so that we can respond to incoming inquiries much faster. We have seen cases, Nicole, where if we don't answer the question in the first time that it was sent to us, we have a good chance of losing that potential participant in HPC experiments. So we are looking at these real-time contact center solutions.
So the webinar you just mentioned is to give an overview of the contact center, or can you describe what you'll be covering there?
Yes. So what we've done is we've built what we refer to as Uber Cloud Exhibit. Uber Cloud Exhibit today brings 30 of our providers together, very similar to an exhibition space that you would see at a conference, for example. And to make that more interactive, we've signed up with a technology partner called Bright Pattern. And using their solution, we are launching a real-time chat capability so that whenever our participants come in and they have a specific question about a project they want to launch, one of us will be there to answer their question over a chat session. And we believe that that will be a unique capability for our community members.
Mm-hmm. Is this free or subscription-based, or how does that work out?
So HPC Experiment is completely free, as you know, and the tools that we make available, including the chat solution, is free for all of our users. We do have a sponsor community who came together to support HPC Experiment and all of our capabilities at this time. So we're very thankful for them.
Oh, very good. I'm sure it's a great and growing resource. We'll keep checking in with you. Brock, thank you so much for taking time today. We'll keep tabs on what's going on with the Uber Cloud project. I love saying that, by the way, Uber Cloud. It's so fun.
Thank you, Nicole.
Okay. Take care. Thank you.